You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday edition, and I might include some information on Friday. The studio is not open on Friday, so I'll have to record it Monday. But there's breaking news, and I'm sure I'm going to have Trump's remarks on his way to the vacation, because usually that's the best time. The press, this is right outside of the White House on the lawn where the helicopters are, and I'm going to, anticipating that he has some good comments, am going to play most of that clip, however long it is. Now, I've been covering the so-called reaction, and it is sort of reactionary, from the, and I consider it terrorist attacks, both in El Paso and in Dayton, Ohio. Now, I'm not going to specifically cover those instances, but there's the attitude in Washington seems to be, well, we got to do something. We got to do something. And there's no law that's going to stop this. That's what's so frustrating about it. They think they can pass a regulation, pass a law, and that's going to stop it. It's not going to stop it. The other thing that's annoying is they're blaming most, not all of them, but a lot of them are saying, including Trump, well, these people are mentally ill. No, they're not mentally ill. You might say mentally disturbed, but they're not. They're sick people in a sense. They're evil. No one wants to say evil. They're bad guys, thugs, and that's what they are. Oh, yeah, they have issues, but do you think passing a law is going to stop either of these attacks? And that's what they're about. Well, we need the two things I've heard from the president. Well, red flag laws. We need red flag laws. Well, I'm totally against red flag laws. As far as I'm concerned, that violates the constitutional. They are unconstitutional. Yes, you can try to have due process built in, but it's a typical case of giving someone an inch, they take a mile. And I think his base, the large part of his base, are very much strong supporters of the Second Amendment. That's why, that's one of the reasons Donald Trump was elected president. And he knows it. The NRA was an early backer of Trump because he came out strongly for the Second Amendment. That got a lot of people's attention. But lately, President Trump is sounding very squishy. And I mean squishy or swooshy, however you want to describe it. Soft on the Second Amendment. Now, we don't have callers into this show, but if we did, I know what would happen. Many of the people that are pro-Second Amendment, including me, would say, I'm totally against red flag laws. Now, I went over that in the last show. I'm not going over it again, but I'm sort of warning the president, if he goes there, he's going to lose a lot of his supporters, as well as a lot of his Republican supporters. So if they want to do something, what can they do? Well, if the president keeps repeating and repeating, well, we need background checks. Well, I've heard that, and we improve the background checks, yet most of these shooters, not all of them, but most of them, they can legally get the weapons. And the reason is they don't have, most of them don't have a prior criminal record. So yeah, you can improve it, but if the information is not in the database, when they look up a name and address, and he's not a felon, nine times out of 10, they're going to get the weapons. Even with a more comprehensive, or however you want to describe it, background check. Background check is only as good as the information in the database. And the other problem is only a small minority of these mass shooting attacks where you have four people killed, can you legitimately say that this person has a mental problem? He's mentally disturbed, however you want to describe it, mental illness. Most of them are not mentally ill, and there's differences, but it's mainly young men. So how is a background check going to stop this? It's not. It's going to be a lot of waste of time, and what are they doing? They're trying to limit, infringe upon the rights of the American people in terms of their Second Amendment rights. So I don't know what the Democrats and the Republicans can agree to, but let me tell you, whatever they agree to, it's not going to make a hill of beans. And that's the problem. Good intentions are not enough. Results count, and having a better background check is not going to stop this. It is not. Because let's take the worst case. Someone has a criminal record. What are they going to do? They're going to buy the weapons or steal the weapons. There's the big fallacy here is you pass another law, that's going to stop the crime. It's not. So apparently, when Congress returns from their vacation, the Democrats and the Republicans are going to get together and pass up. But Trump better be very, very aware, and I think he is, that many, many, many of his supporters, one of their hot button issues is no infringement on their Second Amendment rights. They won't agree to red flag laws at all, and they're going to be very, very suspicious as to what they want to add to the background checks. See, what annoys me is every time you have one of these attacks, our representatives try to take our weapons from us, law-abiding American citizens. That's why I call them gun grabbers. That's exactly what they're about. So Donald Trump has been warned. I'm sure he's heard this. I don't think he's not clued into this, but our representatives in Congress better understand something. If you try to pass a national red flag law, it's going to be defeated. And as far as I'm concerned, any Democrat or Republican that votes for red flag laws should be primaried and defeated. Vote against Democrat or Republican. Now, I'm not a Democrat or Republican. And there are many, many independents. Independents today are between 40 and 50%. Yeah, some lead Democrat, some lead Republican. I know that. But one common denominator, they're very, very strong on a number of issues. And the big three, in my mind, most of them are pro-life. I'm talking Republicans. Most of them are pro-Second Amendment. And thirdly, they're pro-legal immigration, but totally oppose and want roll back the illegal alien invasion of this country. And saying the word illegal alien invasion is not racist. In the law, if you're not a U.S. citizen, you're an alien. If you come here and don't present your papers, you're an illegal alien, not a so-called undocumented workers or undocumented immigrant. So keep that in mind. Another issue is I was listening to former Vice President Joe Biden. I don't think he's going to be the presidential nominee. But what's the but here? In terms of the Democratic establishment and the people that make large campaign contributions to the Democratic Party, Joe Biden is well-liked. He's a good old boy. But the good old boy was caught one time he ran, I think the first time, plagiarizing. But now I think he's caught himself in another lie, a big lie. And I think the reason he had to, and I'm going to play it in a minute, go there, he's being attacked by who? What I call the radical extremist Democrat social. As a matter of fact, as of today, Thursday, I think Joe Biden is no longer a liberal Democrat. In my mind, he's joined the Reds, the radical extremist Democrat socialist. And he's calling Donald Trump a racist and a white supremacist, and he's lying about what he said on a critical issue. Now, why do I think the radical extremist Democrat socialists are going on and on about this? And they're lying about it, as are the media. They're desperately in fear of losing a significant portion of the black vote and the Hispanic vote to Donald Trump. And why would they lose it? Because black unemployment as well as Hispanic unemployment rates are way, way down. In other words, you have a lot of blacks and Hispanics like the economic policies of Donald Trump. Now, I'll be the first one to say it remains to be seen whether we can have a growing economy through November 3rd, Election Day of next year. But in my mind, if the economy is growing at the average rate of 3%, Donald Trump is going to win. The only way in my mind that Donald Trump could lose if the economy goes into recession. And it could. Don't underestimate that possibility. Do I think this year? No, I don't. But the Democratic Party knows that on the issues, the concerns that, when I say concerns, the concerns of the American people, they're wrong on the issues. So when you're wrong on the issues, what do? You lie about your opponent. You call them names. Now, I don't know Donald Trump, but there are many people that do. And one of the things they all say, he's not a racist, and he's certainly not a white supremacist. So first, let's listen to what Joe Biden said. I've been debating the order of this. I want to first play what Joe Biden says. And I'm not going to play the whole speech, but what I'm going to do, it's really in the first two or three sentences. And that what caught my eye, because I followed this very closely, not only when the event occurred 2 years ago, but also recently, just to refresh my memory. The Democratic candidates for president are virtually all of them, with the exception of Robert Francis O'Rourke, Beto O'Rourke, and because he was in from El Paso, he did not attend the Iowa State Fair. So let me play it. I have a lot of information and why I'm looking for it. It only takes a second. The way you listen to the Pronk Pop show is to go to my companion blog, which is pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's Pronk Pops, P-R-O-N-K, Pops, P-O-P-S, .wordpress.com. And if you do that, under my photograph, you'll see links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows. And then you see a lot of it background information that I looked at in preparing the show. So let's listen to the first minute or two of Joe Biden.
When he said after Charlottesville, there were, and I quote, very fine people on both sides, I said then it gave license and safe harbor to white supremacists and neo-Nazis and to the Ku Klux Klan. These words not only stunned America, but they stunned the world. And in doing so, he assigned a moral equivalence between those spewing hate and those with the courage to stand against it. I said at the time, we're in a battle for the soul of this nation. I said it again when I announced my candidacy, and I say it here today. We are in a battle for the soul of this nation. That's why, primarily, I'm running for president.
Okay, that was from a speech. Now, here is Joe Biden again in Iowa.
Everything the president says and has done encourages white supremacists. And I'm not sure there's much of a distinction. As a matter of fact, it may be even worse. In fact, if you're out there trying to, in fact, curry the favor of white supremacists or any group that, in fact, is anathema to everything we believe. So whether he is or is not a white supremacist, he encourages them. Everything he does, he speaks to them. He's afraid to take them on. And if you notice, the one time he used the word white supremacy, he was, talk about sleepy. He was awful sleepy in the way in which he talked about it. Everything the president said.
Now, I call Joe Biden creepy, sleepy, dopey Joey Biden. Now, why do I call him that? I'm going to play a Prager University YouTube video on what's called the Charlottesville lie. Listen very, very carefully, because Joe Biden is using the Charlottesville lie. In other words, he's lying to the American people. He needs the black vote.
Politicians lie. We all know that. This is not an indictment of all politicians. It's simply part of the game. It's our job as informed citizens to figure out the truth. And that's where journalists and the media come in. They are supposed to help us ferret out fact from fiction. So when they get a fact wrong, that's bad. When they get a fact wrong, know it's wrong, and don't correct it, that's worse. That's not getting a fact wrong. That's a lie. And that's journalistic malfeasance. The best, or maybe worst, example of this followed a presidential press conference at Trump Tower on Tuesday, August 15, 2017. You remember what happened that previous weekend. A group of white supremacists held a white pride rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. The ostensible reason was to protest the removal of a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee. An Antifa group showed up to counter-protest. The mayor and the police were totally unprepared to deal with the violence that ensued. Tragically, a young woman, Heather Heyer, was run over and killed by a neo-Nazi. The press conference itself was raucous. The media was antagonistic. The president was combative. Out of it all, one phrase eclipsed the thousands of words exchanged. The media reported that President Trump described neo-Nazis as very fine people. Only he didn't. In fact, he didn't even hint at it. Just the opposite. He condemned the neo-Nazis in no uncertain terms. So then, who were the fine people he mentioned? The answer? He was referring to another group of Charlottesville demonstrators who came out that weekend. Protesters who wanted the Robert E. Lee statue removed, and protesters who wanted to keep the statue and restore the park's original name. This is what President Trump said about those peaceful protesters. You also had some very fine people on both sides. You had people in that group that were there to protest the taking down of, to them, a very, very important statue, and the renaming of a park from Robert E. Lee to another name. A few moments later, in case there would be any misunderstanding, he makes his meaning even more explicit. I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists. They should be condemned totally. Lest you have any doubts that good people were in Charlottesville to protest the removal of the Robert E. Lee statue, the New York Times confirmed it in a story they published the next day, August 16th. Good people can go to Charlottesville, said Michelle Percy, a night shift worker at a Wichita, Kansas retirement home who drove all night with a conservative group that opposed the planned removal of a statue of the Confederate general, Robert E. Lee. After listening to Mr. Trump on Tuesday, she said it was as if he had channeled her and her friends who had no interest in standing with Nazis or white supremacists. There's another simple test that we can employ to prove that the president was not referring to the neo-Nazis as fine people. It's so obvious, it's painful to mention. The president's daughter and son-in-law are Orthodox Jews. His grandchildren are Jewish. And if that's still not enough to convince you, how about this? Does anyone believe that Donald Trump thinks they're a good Antifa? The leftist thugs who were counter-protesting the neo-Nazi thugs? After all, if those two groups were the only ones involved, and there were fine people on both sides, that means the president believed that there were fine Antifa people. Even MSNBC should have found that hard to swallow. Again, the very fine people on both sides, President Trump described at the press conference, were the people who wanted to remove the Robert E. Lee statue and the people who wanted to keep it. Both of these groups were nonviolent protesters. Fine people with very different ideological views. The scandal of Charlottesville is not what President Trump said about neo-Nazis. It's what the media said President Trump said about neo-Nazis. It's a scandal because news reporting is supposed to be about gathering facts, not promoting an agenda. In Charlottesville, they got it exactly backwards. We have been living with the consequences ever since. Plainly put, ABC, CBS, NBC, NPR, The New York Times, The Washington Post, and the others spread a malicious lie that has poisoned our national dialogue. They should apologize to the American people for what they have done. Don't hold your breath. Actually, I have a better idea. Let out a big sigh of relief, because now you know the truth. I'm Steve Cortez, CNN political commentator and columnist for Real Clear Politics for Prager University. Thank you for watching this video.
Now, I know a lot of you either were not following the news, so don't know what Charlottesville was really about, and don't remember Donald Trump's press conference. So I want to play a clip, a YouTube video of it.
You're putting what you're calling the alt-left and white supremacists on the same moral plane.
I'm not putting anybody on a moral plane. What I'm saying is this. You had a group on one side and you had a group on the other, and they came at each other with clubs, and it was vicious and it was horrible, and it was a horrible thing to watch. But there is another side. There was a group on this side, you can call them the left, you've just called them the left, that came violently attacking the other group. So you can say what you want, but that's the way it is.
Sir, you said there was hatred, there was violence on both sides.
I think there's blame. Yes, I think there's blame on both sides. You look at both sides. I think there's blame on both sides, and I have no doubt about it, and you don't have any doubt about it either.
And
if you reported it accurately, you would say.
not kill the person. Heather hired them. They showed up in Charlottesville.
Excuse me.
To protest.
Excuse me. They didn't put themselves down as you. And you had some very bad people in that group. But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. You had people in that group. Excuse me. I saw the same pictures as you did. You had people in that group that were there to protest the taking down of, to them, a very, very important statue and the renaming of a park from Robert E. Lee to another name.
Well,
no, George Washington was a slave owner. Was George Washington a slave owner? So will George Washington now lose his status? Are we going to take down statues to George Washington? How about Thomas Jefferson? What do you think of Thomas Jefferson? You like him? Okay, good. Are we going to take down the statue? Because he was a major slave owner. Now, are we going to take down his statue? So you know what? It's fine. You're changing history. You're changing culture. And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay? And the press has treated them absolutely unfairly. Now, in the other group also, you had some fine people, but you also had troublemakers, and you see them come with the black outfits and with the helmets and with the baseball bats. You had a lot of bad people in the other group too.
The press treated unfairly, sir. I'm sorry. I just understand what you were saying. You were saying the press has treated white nationalists unfairly.
No,
I just understand what you were saying.
No. There were people in that rally, and I looked the night before. If you look, they were people protesting very quietly the taking down of the statue of Robert E. Lee. I'm sure in that group there were some bad ones. The following day it looked like they had some rough, bad people. Neo-Nazis, white nationalists, whatever you want to call them. But you had a lot of people in that group that were there to innocently protest and very legally protest because, you know, I don't know if you know, they had a permit. The other group didn't have a permit. So I only tell you this. There are two sides to a story. I thought what took place was a horrible moment for our country, a horrible moment. But there are two sides to the country. Does anybody have a final? Does anybody have, you have an infrastructure.
What makes you think you can get an infrastructure bill? You didn't get health care.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, we came very close with health care. Unfortunately,
I'm going to stop there. Now, I'm going to play one more time just what Joe Biden is trying to do. I find what he's trying to do despicable. And I think now cross the line. The establishment, well, he's moderate, liberal, centrist Joe Biden. Not anymore, folks. Not anymore. And if you don't believe me, just listen to what he said, because he's saying exactly what the radical extremist Democrat socialists are saying. And I mean Warren, Sanders, Harris, and the other. Again, this is from a speech Biden gave, and I just want to play it so you clearly get in your mind what he's doing.
Okay. When he said after Charlottesville, there were, and I quote, very fine people on both sides.
I'm going to interrupt. He's taking them out of context. This is a favorite tactic, misquoting by taking it out of context. And this is the gentleman that was found cheating, plagiarizing a speech his first time. He's doing it again. He doesn't learn. Take it out of context. Mislead people. He's lying about Trump. Listen to the videos.
I said then it gave license and safe harbor to white supremacists and neo-Nazis.
What it did is give safe harbor for the right of the American people to protest. And remember, the group, not the neo-Nazis, not the white supremacists or what nationalists, a group got a permit. What they were protesting is the taking down of a Robert E. Lee statue and the renaming of the park. And on the other side, you had people that wanted to do that. The bad guys here were on the left, Antifa, on the so-called right, but it's misleading. The neo-Nazis, because the Nazis, ladies and gentlemen, National Socialists, were really on the left. Their enemies were the communists. Joe Biden is desperate. And what the Democratic Party is doing is smearing not only Donald Trump, but his supporters. And that is a formula for disaster. And if they keep it up and don't learn quickly, you're going to see a repeat of Ronald Reagan's performance in 1980 and 1984. In other words, a landslide victory by Trump. Because I'll get on the issues a little bit later. And it's too bad. And here is, let me play it again. I'm not sure I played this. This is the press questioning Trump.
Everything the president says and has done encourages white supremacists.
See, that's not true. Everything the president says encourages white. You're out of your mind, sir. It's not an exaggeration. You're lying, sir.
And I'm not sure there's much of a distinction. As a matter of fact,
you're having a problem making a distinction. This gentleman is unfit to be president. He's turned into a demagogue.
It may be even worse. In fact, if you're out there trying to, in fact, curry the favor of white supremacists or any group that, in fact, is anathema to everything we believe. So,
excuse me, sir. Over 60 million people voted for Trump. Are you telling them they're racist and white supremacists? Because if you are, you're a damn fool. I'm not saying they're racist out there, and they're white supremacists out there, and they're white nationalists out there. And yes, there's Antifa, so-called anti-fascists, that are really using the tactics of the Italian fascists. They're thugs. On both sides, they're thugs. The majority of the American people are in the center. You're demonizing Donald Trump and his own voters. That is not how you win elections, sir. But when you're desperate and are afraid that you might lose, again, your chance, and really, this is his last chance to run for president. He's not going to get another one, and he knows it. So he's going to pull out all the stops, and he is lying. He's afraid. And who is he afraid of? Obviously his competition, but also afraid of losing the black voters. Because a lot of blacks are waking up to the fact that Donald Trump is getting results where Barack Obama and the Biden administration were not. So I don't think Biden is going to be the nominee. And I think I call him the failing final four, or who? Joe Biden. Oh, he'll make it to the final four. And Elizabeth Warren. And Bernie Sanders, and finally, Kamala Harris. And ladies and gentlemen, they are so wrong on the issues, but they're all smearing Donald Trump and his own voter base as racist. You don't do that without paying a price. That might play well, and it does, with their own base. But keep in mind what's going on here. The American people have been betrayed by both Democrats and Republicans, and what I'm referring to is both parties are more concerned about the illegal alien. They don't like to call them illegal alien. I call it the illegal alien invasion of this country. The American people want that stopped. The American people support legal immigration. What they do not support is the continuing surge, flood, however you want to describe it, of illegal aliens coming into the United States. And this has been going on for 33 years, and either the Democratic Party or the Republican Party have stopped it. Right now, the Democratic Party is for open borders. Open borders means giving citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here. Well, I have news for the Democratic Party and their candidates. The vast majority, overwhelming majority of the American people want the illegal aliens that are here to please go home. And the reason Donald Trump won the 2016 election, he made it very, very clear. He was going to build a big, beautiful wall of approximately 1,000 miles, and he was going to deport and remove all the illegal aliens that are here. Well, he hasn't done it. And one of the major reasons he hasn't been able to do it is the opposition, the resistance, however you want to call it, of the Democratic Party. They won't give him the money. And yes, there are Republicans that also don't want the border barrier built. You need a 2,000-mile border barrier. We only have, right now, the existing human barrier is about 350 miles. Yes, they've built some new border barrier. Trump says by the end of next year we'll have approximately 400 to 500 miles. I don't know what it's going to be. But if he does that, he's more than double the existing border barrier. Now, why am I emphasizing this? This is what the American people want. Democrats, Republicans, and independents. And the political elitist class of both parties are ignoring the will of the American people. And if you do that, it not only is it dangerous, you're going to pay a price. And the price is they won't vote for you. You're not listening to what the people are saying. This is a job issue. It threatens American citizens' jobs, especially those new to the workforce. But it's also a drug issue because a lot of the drugs, not all of them, but a lot of drugs, marijuana as well as heroin, where's it coming from? And cocaine, it's coming from crossing the U.S.-Mexican border. Some is coming from China. In other words, if we had a 2,000-mile border barrier where the border barrier is just to slow them down, you need a road next to the fence, and the road will carry the U.S. Border Patrol. So when sensors pick up the fact that people are trying to break into the country, we send out the U.S. Border Patrol to detain them and arrest them. But the Democratic Party is against that. What's making it even worse, they want to give citizenship, in other words, reward the illegal behavior of all the illegal aliens that are here, and it's somewhere between 30 to 60 million, because this has been going on for 33 years. Both parties are out of touch with the American people on this issue. So if the radical extremist Democrat socialists want to give citizenship to all the illegals that are here, then I would shove that right down their throats. You don't have to quote it, misquote it. That's what they say they're for. That's a formula for a major, huge defeat come 2020. So I let them go on and on and on. They're digging their own grave. I can't understand how, I don't want to say stupid. The American people, the overwhelming majority of American people, get their health insurance from where? Their employer. From their employer. And most of them like it. They're at least satisfied, if not like it. And what all of these candidates want to do, with the exception of Biden, that's why I think if he stops putting his foot in it and stop lying, he might have a chance. But the remaining of them, at least the final four, excluding Biden, want to replace, take away from all the American people their health insurance and replace it with Medicare. American people don't want that. They hear that and say, are you out of your mind? I like what I have. I'm working at the company because of it. Mind your own business. So keep it up. I mean, and the other thing is, think about senior citizens that have Medicare. Medicare is in trouble, as is Social Security. If we had Medicare for all, let's say it could pass. It's never going to pass, folks. But let's entertain it for a minute. That means Medicare for senior citizens will go belly up much sooner. Much sooner. They can't pay for this. Or rather, they will pay for it by what? Dramatically increasing your taxes. American people don't support that. These people are out of touch with their own voter base. They have this utopian socialist dream of socialized medicine for everyone, and that invariably leads to rationing. Now, they don't want to bring that up, nor do they want to bring up the price tag, but that is the final four. Now, right now, so far, there are 9 candidates that have made it into the third, will make it into the third debate. Now, there might be one or two more. They have to the end of August to, there are 2 standards they have to meet. They have to, at least 4 polls, get at least 2%. Now, that's not a very high bar, but many of the candidates don't have that. That's why many of these candidates, you don't know who they are. Now, who are the ones that meet that criteria, as well as have, I think the number is 130,000 contributors to their campaign. Right now, it's Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, Beto O'Rourke, Cory Booker, Amy Klobuchar, and Andrew Yang. And I think there'll probably be at least 1, maybe 2 more. They have a couple of weeks. But eventually, whether it's 9, 10, 11, or 12, it's going to be quickly winnowed down to approximately 4. And I've told you who I think the 4 will be. And I've also shown you some of the recent polls. So you can see the trend. Joe Biden is more or less holding his own so far. Elizabeth Warren has increased her numbers in the polls. Bernie Sanders' numbers have gone down. And those are the major 3. Now, conventional wisdom, you have a lot of people think that the senator from California, the junior senator from California, the former attorney general of California, is going to win. I don't see it, folks. I do not see it, because I think her problem is she's not strong in economics and business, and frankly is out of touch. Not with her base, but with the majority of the American people. Remember, you can get the nomination, but that doesn't mean you're going to come close to win the presidency. Not when you have not a booming economy, as long as Donald Trump has a growing economy and several hundred miles of a border barrier built, and he's deported, let's say, 1 million or 2 million illegal aliens, he's not going to lose any support. If anything, I think his support is growing. And the more the radical extreme aspects of these candidates is exposed for what it is, many Democrats are going to say, I can't vote for them. Yeah. They always have their base of roughly 15% to 30%. But that doesn't get you elected president. That won't even get you the nomination. And why is it this way? Well, one of the problems is big lie media has become the propaganda arm of the Democratic Party. And they're not challenging these candidates to the extent they should. And I'm not saying there are not some good reporters, investigative reporters, that are asking the hard questions that need to be raised. I think you have a lot of groupthink, but these candidates support socialized medicine. In other words, single payer, where the single payer is the United States government. Now, American people like Medicare, but Medicare has a problem. It's going broke. It's not actuarially sound, and that'll happen in the 2020. And Social Security has a similar problem, not as bad as Medicare. So both, either the benefits have to be cut or the taxes for it have to be increased. And politicians, Democrat or Republicans, don't want to do it. Trump doesn't want it, won't even talk about or address entitlements. Entitlements have a financial problem, both Social Security and Medicare, as well as Medicaid for the poor. So what else is happening? Well, I noticed something, and this time I've actually made it a story. When I was preparing this show, what I normally do is I get a number of YouTube videos from a number of sources. But what I was seeing, and I'm still seeing it, and I don't know what's going on other than YouTube better get its act together. I saw clip after clip, and what's interesting, it's primarily various commentators from Fox News. Obviously, Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, and many of the Fox News-related shows. And what I was seeing is YouTube videos lasting a whole 2 seconds. So what happens is you look at the title, you look at the video, you click on it, and then it plays for exactly 2 seconds, and it shuts down. And you see this repeatedly. So either you have someone posting YouTube videos that are exactly 2 seconds long. Now, I found a few that were like 3, 4, or 5, and then they shut down. At first, I said, what's going on? First, I thought, this is ridiculous. But now they've done it for several days. So either YouTube or some poster of YouTube videos, and I want to be very, very careful here, I think there's a lot of mischief going on, because I saw, I looked at who was posting, and there's several people, and then I went to their channel, and they have a lot of videos. They don't have 2 second videos. So I'm tending to conclude that it's YouTube doing this, or someone working, when I say YouTube, someone working for YouTube, thinking that no one's going to pick up on this. Well, I'm alerting Fox News and their commentators that you need to address this with YouTube. Now, YouTube is not going to listen to me. I've been a big fan of YouTube from the very beginning. I'm a YouTuber, and I've never encountered this until this week. That's strange, and it needs to be cleaned up. But be careful who's doing it. It could be, and I tend to lead to, I think it's someone at YouTube or its parent company, Google, that's doing this nonsense. It's not sitting well. If I'm noticing it, many other people are noticing it. Is this censorship? I think it's an attempt to do that. I think it's an attempt to annoy a lot of people. It's not working, because I can get the information from a lot of sources. I'm not dependent on YouTube videos to do this show. I provide you the YouTube videos so you can make up your own mind. Because yes, politicians lie. Yes, politicians will mislead you. And yes, the news media do the same thing. They become very, very partisan. But let me remind you, in the history of journalism, most of the newspapers favored either a party or a candidate. They've always been partisan. In other words, that brief period of time, let's say in the 50s and 60s, where you couldn't tell what an anchor's political views, are now gone. In other words, we've mixed opinion and commentary together with reporting of the facts and the news. And this is just a small example of it. And I hope this situation really gets cleaned up. Now, with the time remaining, Donald Trump, on his way to the helicopter, and an helicopter takes him to Joint Base Andrews, where he flies to wherever he's taking his vacation, Florida, has routinely, at least for several months now, he will answer questions of the media, your newspaper, television network. And you get a good sense of the president's position on a whole host of issues. Now, what struck me is that President Trump was highly confident. His confidence really comes through here. I never thought he had a problem of confidence. I don't have a problem of confidence. But this is a very articulate, confident president answering question after question after question of the reporters that are waiting there to ask the question. So let me play as much as I can of Donald Trump's answers to reporter questions.
So we're doing very well with China. We're talking to China. We're not ready to make a deal, but we'll see what happens. But, you know, we've been hurt by China for 25, 30 years. Nobody's done anything about it. And we have no choice but to do what we're doing. It's working out very well, as you know. We called them on manipulation, and they brought their numbers back. And they brought them back rapidly, and they were able to do that because they manipulate. But that's all. It's called monetary manipulation.
What it is you make the value of the yuan lower than its real value, which means Chinese exports to the world, including the United States, are cheaper. It gives a competitive advantage to the Chinese to do that. And they have been doing that, not only now, but in past years. For a while, they didn't do it. Now they're doing it big time.
Not good. But what happened and what's happening with China now, we have an open dialogue. We'll see whether or not we keep our meeting in September. If we do, that's fine. If we don't, that's fine. But it's time that somebody does what we're doing. And I said, the American taxpayer is not paying for it. We had a big day in the stock market yesterday, but the American taxpayer is not paying for it. What China is doing is by depressing their currency and by pouring tremendous amounts of money into their system, they're paying for it. The prices have not gone up. So when in fact, in some cases, they've gone down because the devaluation plus the money supply, the amount of money that they pour in, which is a form of manipulation, has more than compensated for an increase in price. So as I said, and everybody questioned it, in the case of China, the tariffs have been amazing. We're taking in billions and billions of dollars. Now, China's had their worst year in 35 years now. It was in 26 years, but now it's in 35 years. I want them to do well, but as of this moment, they're having the worst year that they've had in many, many years, in decades. And really, we're just bringing the system back into order. We have all the cards. We're doing well. Our country is doing fantastically well. You look at Europe, they've got problems. In fact, the biggest problem we have is the fact that a lot of other continents, frankly, but a lot of other countries are not doing well. But we're doing great, and we continue to do great. Our companies are poised. They have a lot of cash. Our system is beautiful.
The NRA has been a strong supporter of Taliban all the way back to the campaign. Do you think the position of the NRA on that
ground? I think I could, but I don't think I'll be there. I have a great relationship with the NRA. They supported me very early. And that's been a great decision they made. We have Justice Kavanaugh, we have Justice Gorsuch, and they feel very strongly about the Second Amendment. The NRA's made a great decision in supporting me, and nobody else would have won, aside from everything else. I have a very good relationship. I'll change it. I have a great relationship with the NRA. I have a lot of respect for the people at the NRA, and I have already spoken to them on numerous occasions, and frankly, we need intelligent background checks, okay? This isn't a question of NRA, Republican, or Democrat. I will tell you, I spoke to Mitch McConnell yesterday. He's totally on board. He said, I've been waiting for your call. He is totally on board. I spoke to senators that in some cases, people, friends of mine, but pretty hardline senators, hardline, and when I say that in a positive way, hardline on the Second Amendment. And they understand, we don't want insane people, mentally ill people, bad people, dangerous people. We don't want guns in the hands of the wrong people. I think that the Republicans are going to be great and lead the charge along with the Democrats. I spoke yesterday to Nancy Pelosi. We had a great talk. I spoke to Chuck Schumer. We had a great talk. And Chuck Schumer in particular loves my China policy, as you probably know. I said, I can't believe it. You actually like something that I'm doing. He said, not like, love. So Chuck Schumer is, he's great on the China situation, which we are winning and winning big. And China wants to do something, but I'm not ready to do anything yet. 25 years of abuse, I'm not ready so fast. So we'll see how that works out. But on the background checks, we have tremendous support for really common sense, sensible, important background checks.
It depends what he means by meaningful background checks. I won't argue that the background checks need to be improved, and that's where he can get something done. But the key problem has always been the databases. It's only as good as the information is reported and is in the database. If it's not in the database, you don't know what's going on. And what I'm afraid, and this is where I'm leery of this, yes, there are people that are mentally ill, but the overall majority of mentally ill people are not violent and don't do these mass shootings. Yeah, you have a small percentage, maybe 5%. The rest are just bad guys, evil guys. You could have a perfect background check, but that's not going to stop them, because why? Let's say, for example, you've been in prison. Now, you can't buy a weapon. So what are you going to do? You're either going to steal it or buy it on a black market or from other criminals. It doesn't stop people. People get around it. I think it's the height of being naive to think passing another law, another regulation, is going to prevent mass shooting. They haven't. They have not. Like the one in El Paso, he bought the rifle legally, which means there was a background check. Yes, there's room for an improvement. And yes, there is an area of, let us say, compromise to improve it. But where the majority of, let's say, hardliners on Second Amendment rights will not go are the so-called red flag laws, where parents or relatives can report their concerns, and then what happens? Please take it to a judge, or a district attorney takes it to the judge, and knock, 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 they take your weapons and without a hearing. That's infringing on people's rights. There's a lot of room for mischief here and misuse of these laws. And I don't think the NRA is going to support a national red flag law or universal law, however you want to describe it. I think what Trump is trying to do is find out, okay, where can we get some improvement? So at least he says, I've done something. We had to do something. So we passed a regulation or a law that gets us more meaningful background checks. Very few people are going to argue against that. But Trump has to be very, very careful here, or he will lose his supporters, especially those that are very much pro-Second Amendment, which I am. Let's continue with President Trump.
Go ahead. Time goes by. I don't think I'm different, but I think the Senate is different. I think other people in the House are different. I think that people that maybe had their arm up a couple of years ago, maybe they feel differently. I don't think I feel any differently. I think with a lot of success that we have, I think I have a greater influence now over the Senate and over the House. I think we can get something really good done. I think we can have some really meaningful background checks. We don't want people that are mentally ill, people that are sick. We don't want them having guns.
See, that's less, Mr. President. Best case, that's maybe 10% of the people. I think that's overstating the problem. You need to dig into it. I think the people that have mental illness are getting a bum's rap here, and they're being stigmatized. So first, check your facts. Oh, I agree the people that do this are evil. But note, I didn't say mentally insane, because they're not.
Who does? Well, we'll see where the NRA will be. But we have to have meaningful background checks. You know, in both cases, it's possible they wouldn't have been caught. But in the one case, we also have to talk about age. Because he did things that were very, very bad in Ohio, in Dayton. He did some things that were really bad. His school knew about it. When he turned 18, everything was expunged. We're going to have to get rid of that. Because you can't have that barrier. If they would have had that barrier, they would have been able to see. But because he was a minor, It was expunged. We're going to have to get rid of that barrier. I think a lot of really meaningful things on background checks will take place, including red flags, including a lot of other very, very important items. And the Republicans are looking at it very seriously. And I really believe that the NRA, I've spoken to them numerous times, they're really good people.
I suggest you talk to not only NRA members, but people that are pro-Second Amendment. They don't like these red flag laws at all because they don't trust the gun grabbers. This is an attempt by the gun grabbers to grab the guns. Check out what happened in Massachusetts. Initially, oh yeah, it's mental illness, blah, blah, blah. When they finally passed the bill, nothing about mental illness. This was an attempt to take people's guns away. And that's how it's being perceived. And yes, the NRA knows about it. Its members know about it. And those that are not even members know about it. It's unconstitutional, Mr. President. You need due process, and you're taking people's property away, namely their weapons, without due process.
Great patriots. They love our country. They love our country so much. And frankly, I really think they're going to get there also.
A good talk with Wayne, and I like Wayne, and you know, as you know, they supported me very early,
far earlier than anybody thought possible, especially me not being a politician.
And that support has paid off. We now have two Supreme Court justices that are phenomenal, Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, and I mean, they're phenomenal people, and they're big believers in the Second Amendment, which Wayne is also, and which I am. I mean, there's been no president that feels more strongly about the Second Amendment than I do. However, we need meaningful background checks so that sick people don't get guns. I think in the end, Wayne and the NRA will either be there or maybe will be a little bit more neutral, and that would be okay too. Look. The NRA has, over the years, taken a very, very tough stance on everything, and I understand it. You know, it's a slippery slope. They think you approve one thing, and that leads to a lot of bad things. I don't agree with it. I think.
Well, a lot of people think it is a slippery slope, and I think you're going to learn the hard way if you go along with these people.
Meaningful, very meaningful background checks. I want to see it happen. So,
you know, I'm getting a little bit tired of meaningful background checks. Why don't you explain exactly what meaningful background checks are? In other words, be specific.
I've got a lot of support, and I also have the support of other people on the other side. And I think the Democrats and Republicans have a chance to really come together.
Why wasn't there a better place to deal with the migrants?
The reason is because you have to go in. You can't let anybody know. Otherwise, when you get there, nobody will be there. But a big factor is to let people outside of the country that want to come in legally and illegally into our country, where they come in caravans, where they surge the border, which, by the way, we have the numbers way down right now, if you see, because Mexico has done a fantastic job. Mexico has 26,000 soldiers right now on the border. They have been fantastic because of tariffs, but I don't care what it's because Mexico, in fact, I'll be calling the president at a certain point. I just hope they keep it up, because if the Democrats would change the laws, which I was thinking about putting together, as you know, with the gun situation, so we have immigration and we have, let's say, some of the things we're talking about right now, you have them together. But I want people to know that if they come into the United States illegally, they're getting out. They're going to be brought out. And this serves as a very good deterrent. If people come into our country illegally, they're going out. They're not coming in illegally and staying. We have bad laws. They may get in, although we're being very tough, but they may get in. But it doesn't matter because they're going out.
And now, I want to interject. Candidate Trump emphasized not only building 1,000 miles of the big, beautiful wall with the door in it, but also deporting and removing all the illegal aliens that are here. Now, there are a whole range of estimates of how many illegal aliens that are here. It's, in my mind, it's somewhere between 30 and 60 million. President Trump and his administration has not removed and deported 3 million illegal aliens. He hasn't. Let's, for an example, say it's the lower number of 30 million. And that is over 33 years. I'm not saying it's just recently. This has been going on in both Democrat and Republican administration. When people would go down to the border, speak to the supervisor, and see people breaking into the country, what happens is they, once they're across in the United States, they spread out. When a U.S. Border Patrol pulls up, they go in every different directions. Some of them get caught. But when asked, first of all, does this happen all the time? They said, yeah. And how many are not detained or caught? For every one they detain, 2 to 3 minimum. On average, maybe 4 or 5. So when you look at the statistics on apprehensions of illegal aliens over time, and it's been over 1 million, folks. It was heading right back to 1 million recently. We'll see what happens over the entire year. But it hasn't stopped. It's going on. It ebbs and flows. And the reason it ebbs and flows is we have relatively an open border. We have a 2,000-mile U.S.-Mexican border, of which only 350 miles about has a U.N. fence. Yes, there are vehicle barriers that are designed to stop vehicles, but they're not designed to stop human beings. In other words, you can go under them, over them, around them. So I don't even count them. And then you have maybe 150 miles of wilderness area, which would make it very, very difficult to break in the country. Ballpark total of 2,000 miles. If you add up the human fence, 350 miles, 150 miles of rural wilderness areas. You need an additional 1,500 miles. And it hasn't been built. And remember, the wall barrier, whatever you want to call it, is just part of what you need to secure a border. You need a road next to the fence or the border. You need regular patrols. You need sensors. You need drones, helicopters, boats. And when someone breaks into the, goes under the fence, over the fence, climbs the fence, Border Patrol has to be quickly there, detain as many as they can, and then you have to process them. And Donald Trump is right in complaining about catch and release. That's what we've been doing for many, many years. We would catch them, process them, determine who they are, what their names are, pictures, all that. Now they're playing the games with the, I'm a refugee, when most of them, 80 to 90% are not refugees. They're coming here to get a better job. Are there legitimate refugees? Yes. But that's the loophole they're exploiting now. And once they're released, they never show up again. Very few show up. The American people want the illegal alien invasion first to be stopped, and second, they want it rolled back. Because they know that these people are taking the jobs of the American people. And it's part of the drug cartel's business. So this hurts the American people in terms of job of opportunities, as well as more and more drugs coming into the United States. We need a 2,000-mile border barrier. If you truly want to stop the invasion, and that requires roads, vehicles, patrols, and yes, administration, judges to adjudicate and send these people back home. That's what the American people want. Ideally, what they want is please go home on your own. You got here, you broke into the country, please go home. Because if you don't do this, Mr. President, what is going to happen? They're going to continue this year in, year out. That's see, when you reward criminal behavior, what do? You get more of it. And that's what the United States has been doing.
When people see what they saw yesterday, and like they will see for a long time, they know that they're not staying here. I think they really like, you know, it's really amazing because African-American unemployment just came out very recently. The lowest in history. It's the best numbers in history.
That's what's really worrying the Democratic Party, that a significant percentage of black Democratic voters will vote for Trump. Usually 90, 95% of those people that vote are black vote for Democrats. But what Donald Trump has done is given results that employ blacks and Hispanics. See, if the Democratic Party loses, let us say 40 to 50% of the black vote. Now, that sounds crazy. But if they lose that, they're going to lose the next presidential election for sure.
African-American employment and Hispanic and Asian, too, have more people working today than ever worked in the history of our country. Plus, I did criminal justice reform, which President Obama could not get approved, which the media never talks about.
if President Obama got criminal justice reform done, it would be front page stories all over the place. I got it done. I think that African Americans appreciate it. So I got that. I have the best unemployment numbers. I have the best employment numbers for a lot of people, but for African Americans, number one that we've ever had. One other thing we did, aside from criminal justice reform, Opportunity Zone, and they are doing unbelievably well. And you'll see that, and you've already seen it. But Opportunity Zone, and the biggest beneficiary there is African Americans.
I got to leave it there. I think Trump is on his way to being reelected for a second term. I don't think the Democrat Party, its candidates, they can't compete with Donald Trump. And because of that, he'll get a vote of confidence from Democrats, Republicans, and independents. A lot of people that did not vote for him last time, I think this time, will come out and definitely vote for him because they frankly look at the radical extremist Democrat socialists and say, no way, for example, am I going to agree to higher and higher taxes, nor giving up my health care benefits and replacing with Medicare for all. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. And KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.